Well, good morning, everybody, and a good morning especially to the boys and girls who have tuned in. And as we promised earlier in the week, today we want to talk to you about the buzzy bee, the sticky honey, and the big book, the Bible. Now, I would be very tempted this morning to go straight in and to talk about the honey. I brought my big honey pot with me just to keep your mind on what we're saying. And I'm very tempted to go straight in and talk about the honey, because I love honey. But we need to be fair, we need to put things in proper order, and we want to start today by looking at this lovely little insect here, the little bee. And this is one of God's wonderful creations, and this little insect is the most remarkable little insect. And this little insect, boys and girls, it has many, many interesting characteristics. And boys and girls, the first thing about this little honeybee is this: it can fly at 15 miles an hour. And if you're like me, you can always hear them coming because of the awful buzzing noise they make. And if you wonder why they make that buzzing noise, it's very simply this: that they flap their little wings 11,000 times a minute. But the thing about this little bee is this: it cannot fly when it rains. The little honeybee, boys and girls, is most remarkable because whenever it finds a new source of nectar, the very thing needed to make the honey, it will come back to the hive and it will use little dance movements to tell the other bees where the honey is, how much is there, and how good it is. Not only that, boys and girls, this little honeybee lives in a hive with many thousands of other bees, and they all get on well together. And I would hope, boys and girls, that if you're stuck indoors with your family in the next few weeks, that you will endeavor to get on together as well, just like the little honeybee. Now, a most remarkable thing about the little honeybee, boys and girls, is this: it has got central heating in its hive, and it doesn't even have to pay for it. Your mum and dad has to pay for the electric and for the oil and for the gas, but these little honeybees are very clever. And they keep their little hive at a balmy 35 degrees. How they do it? Well, if it begins to get too cold in the hive, these little honeybees, they will make a little shivering motion, and that'll warm them up. And then if it gets too hot, some bees are sent out, and they come in with little droplets of water to cool down the hive. And so these are remarkable little creatures. But let's go a little bit further. It's only the female bees that do any work. Nothing new there. And I'll tell you what, boys and girls, they really do all the work, because very simply this: they make the hives, and then when they live in the hives, they keep them clean. They guard the hives from any enemy, and they look after and tend to the young in the hives, and they are the ones who go out and collect the nectar as well. The male bees play really no part in the day-to-day life in the hive. But you might know some of these fun facts already. But there is certainly one fun fact about the little honeybee, and it's simply this: the honeybee makes honey, and lots of it. In fact, it takes 700 little honeybees all of their lifetime just to make one jar of honey. And so, today, boys and girls, and for those who are listening in, I want just to take a couple of minutes to talk about the lovely, rich, golden liquid that these little bees produce for you and me to enjoy, the honey. Because the honey, and I brought my pot with me, and I have the Bible on this side, the honey and the Bible, they have so many things by way of common ground. Boys and girls, first of all, honey is very sweet. That's the most obvious thing that we can say about the honey. It's nature's sweetener. Honey is used in all kinds of cooking, and it's used in all kinds of baking. And even the advertisers, they are very crafty. They know rightly that people love honey. And you know what they do? They label a lot of their produce with the word honey in it. I'm sure you've heard of honeycomb ice cream, honey glazed ham, honey nut loops. And even one of the manufacturers, their mascot, is the honey monster. But boys and girls, you know, when you come to the Bible, When you come to God's precious word, you'll discover that it also is described as being as sweet as honey. In fact, we'll go further. The Bible in Psalm 19 says that the Bible is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And oh, how right that is. Boys and girls, contained within the pages of this precious volume is the sweetest story you will have ever heard. Contained within this volume is the sweetest person you could ever meet. That's the Lord Jesus. Boys and girls, what is the sweet message that we have in this book? It's a message about a God who is in heaven, but he is not distant from us. It's about a God who is righteous, but also merciful. It's about a God who in love sent his Son to die for us on the cross. What a message. What a story. And then we too also want to talk about the sweetest person mentioned in this book, the Savior himself. In the volume of the book, it's written of him. Oh, what a sweet, blessed Savior he is. The hymn writer got it right whenever he said, "There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him down from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine." But boys and girls, not only is the honey sweet, but in the second place, boys and girls, this honey sustains us. God's word tells us, "Uphold me according unto thy word that I may live." You see, boys and girls, honey sustains us. It keeps us active. It keeps us well. And it's a very nutritional source of food. In fact, there's a man in the Bible called John the Baptist. And he lived on an entire diet of locusts and wild honey. And I hope that doesn't come to us in the near distant future. But I'm sure poor John had to take a lot of wild honey to get those locusts swallowed down. But you know, honey, unlike many other sugary sources, it's all natural. It's 100% zero fat. By eating the honey, we are nourished and we're strengthened. In fact, in the Old Testament, you'll read there of a man called Jonathan. And Jonathan went out to war, and he went out to fight the enemy. And it was a prolonged battle, and he began to get the victory. And then he had to chase after, pursue, get rid of the enemy. And he was at it all day long, and he was weary, and he was faint, and he was about to collapse. And in the wood, he found some honey, and he took of it, and it sustained him, and it strengthened him, and he was able to go on. Now, as well as being a good source of food to sustain us, honey, boys and girls, is also a medicine. You know, many in the medical world have seen great value in honey. Because of its antiseptic properties, honey is used in a range of different ways. It can be used to soothe a sore throat. It can be used to alleviate a tickly cough. It can be used to treat burns and ulcers and many types of different allergies. Now, just as the honey can be taken either as a food or a medicine to strengthen our bodies, to give a help with a variety of ailments, so too it is when we come to the Bible. This book, boys and girls, mums and dads, is given to sustain us. It's given to feed us and to nourish and to strengthen us. Oh, what strength has been found in this book this week, when people are fainting and struggling and under great pressure. And oh, it also gives us medicine for the sin-sick soul. Oh, it's a balm for those who are brokenhearted today. And it tells us of what God requires of us and how we need to live in obedience to him. It is something that sustains. But then lastly, boys and girls, mums and dads, the honey, it stands. It stands the test of time. Because of its unique composition, honey contains many preservative qualities. Unlike other foodstuffs, it doesn't perish, it doesn't go bad, it hasn't got a sell-by date. In fact, the archaeologist, and I'll just say that one time, I usually get tongue-tied with that word, they have found pots of honey in the pyramids in Egypt. And to their amazement, they discovered upon opening these pots of honey that the honey inside was still edible it hadn't perished. And boys and girls, so it is with God's word. Oh, other books have come and gone, but this precious book has stood the test of time. Why? Because it's God's unchangeable word. Psalm 119, verse 87 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The book of Proverbs goes on to say, "Every word is pure, and every word is true." And I would encourage you today, if you haven't done it in a while, to take down your word, your Bible, and read God's word, and discover the wonderful truths within it. But in closing, boys and girls, there is a sting in the tail. Oh yes, there's a sting in the tail of the bumblebee. Now, I have never been stung by a bee, and I hope I never will, but maybe you have, and it's sore. But there is a sting in the tail for all who reject the sweet message of the gospel, who reject the sweet Savior who came and died for us. There's a sting in the tail for those who refuse to partake and read God's word and have it to sustain them and keep them. There's a sting in the tail for all who mock with disbelief, who point at God's word, who find fault in it, and say it never stands the test of time. Oh yes, there's a sting in the tail. And the sting in the tail is this: for those who do such things, there is before them a lost eternity. And oh, today that you would be wise, you would come to the Savior. You would not be lost. You would not be punished. There's none of us deserving of any of God's mercy, but today he offers mercy. Oh, the sweetness of this message. Oh, how this book sustains. Oh, how it stands the test of time. And I would hope, boys and girls, that later on or tomorrow or the next time you look at the honey, you'll remember these precious, wonderful thoughts that we've left before you today. God bless and God keep until we see you again. Amen.